Ladies, the trap is open. Pull up to Kenosha, Wisconsin to grab lip glosses, mink lashes, and unique custom keychains and lighters. All lip glosses are all natural with flavors like 24 karat gold, yayo, and smoking berry. And if you need a pick-me-up, adult slushies are on sale for a limited time. You can even purchase a yard cup and bring it back for a discounted refill. Follow the Candy Trap on all social media. The trap is open. What's up, everybody? Robert E. back on another episode of Pillow Talk. Y'all already know I appreciate y'all for rocking with me. Make sure you tune in with me on Facebook at Pillow Talk Podcast for all of the latest and the greatest. It is Sunday, okay, the Lord's Day, if you will. Definitely got a new episode with Chicago artist Lyric dropping this week, so make sure that you guys check that out, man. He slides through the purple room. This is his third time coming on the show, so I appreciate him for coming back. We talked about a lot of interesting things, you know what I'm saying? We touched on some things, played some amazing trivia. I'm a trivia queen, if you didn't know, okay? If you didn't know. First off, I gotta start off with the word of the day, word of the moment, you know, word of the year, okay? Another word y'all need to add to your personal dictionary, okay? Keep that with you. Dedication. Okay, dedication is another extension of your character. Okay, dedication shows you are reliable. Okay, dedication shows that you finish shit that you start, which is a problem a lot of y'all are having right now. Okay, y'all all done started a lot of different things and you're not able to finish them and you're wondering why your life is so unraveled because there's so many things left undone. Make sure you fully dedicate yourself to things in your life because why would you be giving half-ass energy to things that you want to return full energy to you? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so dedication. I'm dedicated as fuck right now. There's so much shit that I'm dedicated to. It's crazy. But I know I'm dedicated to it because every single day I work on it. Every single day I'm working towards something that I feel dedicated to. So take that as a lesson, baby. And of course, we got to shout out those sponsors again. Black Scotland Clothing and the Candy Trap. Gang, 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 gang. It's a lot, y'all. It's a lot of shit I want to chop it up with y'all about, man. Shout out to all of the new followers. We're going to get to the shit because listen, it's been cray cray. Now, before I get to the heebie-jeebies, listen, can we just talk real quick about Tory in August? I am disgusted, okay? I'm not understanding the whole issue with niggas getting money and still feeling like they got something to prove, especially to a nigga that got more money than. No shade to August, but I know Tory got a little more bag than him. Why is this even happening right now? Now, per the evidence that I'm able to suffice, okay, and I'm able to see for myself, I do think the altercation happened. I'm just not certain if Tory actually was the one that did the beating. You feel me? It's looking more like security beat August ass. That's what it's looking like. Looking like he was jumped, okay? And Tory is now being the face of the altercation. I'm just trying to understand why the fuck? Now, y'all know it was Jada's birthday. Happy birthday to Jada Pickett, Miss Toxic Queen herself. So I'm just wondering if he did this as, you know, a way of getting attention from her, as a way of her acknowledging him. I have no doubt in my mind he's been trying to reach her and she hasn't been responding per the Oscars event. So I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I do know I'm tired of seeing black men in power demolish themselves, okay? I'm tired of seeing it. Y'all are getting too much money, and y'all are well-established artists, both of them in their own right, that they shouldn't even have time for this type of shit to happen. You feel me? Like Jay-Z, now we only saw the Beyonce shit because somebody leaked the video, okay? But you don't see Jay-Z and motherfuckers like that doing shit like this. Like, come on now. Let's just be serious. This is real childish, and I'm tired of it. And Tory needs to have several seats. Now, I don't know still the whole stipulation with the Megan situation. I still feel like that was fishy as well. But he needs to have several fucking seats. Why do you feel like you can just do all of these things while you got charges and shit like that that's still pending and still trying to get discovered? It's messy as fuck for me. And I'm going to need Tori to just focus on the music, okay? You lucky that you raw. I'm just going to say that. But who propped August in the elevator? Did you see the picture of August in the elevator? Okay, because he looked like Martin after he got his ass beat a little bit in the ring. I just want to know who propped him up like that. I just want to know who propped him up and felt the need to do that. Now we've seen images released of other injuries that he sustained from the incident, which again looks like he got beat up. He got jumped. It looks like a couple niggas did that to him. But I'm a follow up on this. I just want y'all to know I'm tired of the shenanigans. Okay? I'm tired of the fucking shenanigans. Okay, but can we give it up for the Black women winning awards though? Can we just, you know what I'm saying? Can we just do that? Black women are continuing to dominate as usual, as always. And these 2022 Emmy Award winners were definitely more winners to add to the long, long list of Black women. So Miss Cheryl Lee Ralph, yes, she finally wins an Emmy, okay? She is an unspoken legend in Hollywood, okay? That's an original dream girl for your ass. So I was really excited to see her win. I did do an amazing article on her win on HypeFresh.com. So definitely make sure you guys check that out where I kind of give more detail into her journey. But she's been in the game for a very long time. She was an original dream girl where she was nominated for a Tony. One of the more prominent roles that she will always have in my heart is Dee. Okay, stepmother of Moesha on the show Moesha. I think that we can add Dee to the long list of Black TV mothers, you know, that really were mothers. Moesha is one of my favorite shows. So say what you want to say, but Dee was there. She was handling business. She looked fly. And I did not know she was really of Jamaican descent. So the fact that she also portrayed that within her character, I think was really, really dope as well. Now, I am proud for my girl, but I have to say, Quinta Brunson, she is really the success story here, okay? So my girl won a fucking Emmy for her show, okay, that she created. Now, her story is so amazing because, like a lot of other social media stars, we get to see that rise, you know, to fame. And so often we do see stars get to a point where they fall off or they decide that they don't have any good content or they really don't have skills, you know what I'm saying, other than that one social media instant. But Quinta kept doing her shit, okay? So if you were one of the early birds on social media as far as like Vine videos and stuff like that, you know, she got famous off of the viral He Got Money clip, okay? She was at the movies. My man was raking it up. She was like, this nigga got money. From that point, she got a job in Hollywood, landed a job at BuzzFeed, okay? Super, super dope. Writing content for them, learning her skill, building her connections. Then she teamed up with my girl Issa Rae. You know it's good and well and dandy if you teamed up with Issa Rae. Okay, so she teamed up with Issa Rae, started working with her. She was featured on the sketch comedy series, A Black Lady Sketch Show, further adding to her credentials, left BuzzFeed, okay, pitched this idea for her show, created and produced the ABC comedy series Abbott Elementary, and winning an Emmy for Outstanding Writing for a Comedy Series. Okay, I mean, it doesn't get any more glamorous than that, to have started from a video and to win an Emmy from an idea. Now, there is speculation that she supposedly, you know, stole this story and there's, you know, a lawsuit thing going on. I haven't seen too much more of it going on right now, but that's why it's important to get your shit copyrighted. That's why it's important to know, make sure that you have your things covered and your, you know, I's dotted and your T's crossed, because shit like this can happen. Now, I wholeheartedly want to believe she did not steal somebody else's content. I want to wholeheartedly believe that she created this and, you know, she won the Emmy because she needed to win it. So I'm going to keep my good faith. I'm going to keep my good faith with Quinta, and I'm just so, so proud. The awkward Black girl lane, it's at an all-time high right now. Like, seriously. We are in a battlefield, okay? we're in a battlefield right now where it's the Instagram model versus the real world woman. And a lot of us get confused. A lot of us get compromised, and we tend to feel like we need to conform and we need to follow the trends and we need to look a certain way and we need to wear certain stuff versus owning what we are to the fullest, wearing it proudly, doing what the fuck we need to do, and being amazing in all of our talents. Okay. One of the biggest reasons why I don't really model and things of that nature is because I never want to be classified as just a beauty. I never want to be classified specifically on my looks. I want you to know that I am brilliant at what the fuck I do and that I am skilled in other things. You know what I'm saying? And that there's so many other elements to me. And I'm funny. Like, come on now. But I love the whole awkward black girl lane because it allows for regular women to shine in all aspects of themselves, not just the physical appearance. Quinta isn't necessarily the most bodacious, you know, woman. She don't have no big butt, big boobs, little waist. She's not a Fashion Nova model. But my girl's getting Emmys. You know what I'm saying? She's raising the bar for other black women who feel as though they have something bigger to offer. And that's what I really love about her and Issa. They're both very unapologetically black and bomb as fuck at what they do. And they're funny. Like, come on now. So I love that. Shout out to her. Shout out to them for winning an Emmy and her creating a platform to allow a legend to win her first Emmy. Like, come on. Stop playing with me. Black women, we stay winning. Now, it's only right that we get into Halle Bailey and the Little Mermaid fiasco that is going down right now. Like, I'm a sip because, baby, listen. I don't even know why y'all upset. Because this is what Hollywood does. When have we ever had full support and full representation all throughout Hollywood? And then it's Disney. Like, come on now. Historically known to be racist, white-owned, and controversial with tons of hidden messages for centuries and centuries. So, of course, you know, we are getting our black Ariel, okay, with the beautiful Halle Bailey playing her, okay? She had the locks dyed red. She was filming for quite some time. Her and her sister were on the show Grown-ish, and she actually did a few scenes for Grown-ish while she was away. So she was doing this for a very long time, okay? According to the director, she performed and he wanted her right away. First performance, he said, I didn't want anybody else to play her. This was it. So she won that shit. Let's just start right there. She won it. She used her talents and she deserves to have that moment, okay? She worked her ass off. She deserves to have that moment. So now we're seeing white people and people of other races, you know, putting out memes saying that, you know, this is wrong and that they shouldn't be remaking this princess black. She's white, whatever. First and foremost, if y'all knew y'all history, y'all would know that, for one, mermaids are predominantly known in other cultures, not European, white, American shit. Okay? Like, stop that shit. I've always known mermaids to be of the Caribbean, African descent. And that's just me growing up knowing little things that I've seen, you know, about mermaids or learned about mermaids. But in Africa, Mama Wata, okay, Mother of Water, is depicted as either a mermaid, a snake charmer, or a combo of the two. Okay, she's worshipped in Brazil, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic. And she's a well-known black mermaid, if you will, legend. She's been around for years and years. You got Japan, they have this Ningayo, I think, Ningo, giant fish with a human head, okay, and then a mouth of a monkey that's also been depicted as a version of a mermaid. Brazil, you have this Ira character, Lady of the Waters, okay, originally was a water snake, and then she was changed into a woman, luring men underwater, okay. Shout out to the History Channel, historychannel.com. These are all real things proven, okay, and documented throughout history. But those are just real historical legends, you know, that have been documented or praised throughout the years through all different cultures. So let's just start there. Let's just put that out there. For you to feel as though, or for people to feel as though mermaids can't be black is dumb as fuck. And you're going to be more upset when you know that mermaids are actually like Asian and they're all types of cultures. Okay. We eating y'all white ass up first. But one of the biggest things I think we should take away from this situation is the importance of supporting our own. This is a Disney production. Now, obviously, had she done this production with another company or, you know, maybe even Tyler Perry, you know, Tyler Perry Productions, I think that would it have been to the high caliber of certain movies? Maybe not. But she would have had that funding from the she would have had that funding from the Black community, that support from the Black community, Black productions, Black marketing, Black promo. And there would be a different type of feel, I think, to the release of it, because it's coming from a Black production. Okay. In addition to that, I think that, or I should say, I wish that we had more prominent Black stars that were featured in the new Little Mermaid along with her. Okay. So the cast is not bad, but it could be better. You know what I'm saying? You have Melissa McCarthy, who's a predominantly known white actress, playing Ursula, which is another big role, I think, in addition to Ariel in The Little Mermaid, right? We want to see who's going to be the big bad villain. We want to see who she's going to battle. So I feel like had this production been more Black based, there also would have been another feel for it. It also could have been viewed a different way. Growing up, I came out, you know, in the 90s baby, and I was a part of the phenomenon of Brandy. And when Brandy took on the role of the Black Cinderella, it changed the whole feel of what a Cinderella and what a, you know, princess could look like. In addition to her doing that, being that first Black Cinderella, we had Whitney Houston co-starring her as her godmother, okay? So Whitney Houston being the icon that she is, I think allowed a different type of flow and feel for the overall production. Whoopi Goldberg was in that movie. You know what I'm saying? There were a lot of other Black prominent stars there to kind of carry Brandy along and make the production really whole. In this production, I mean, I think there's only two Black people. The guy that plays Sebastian is like kind of Black. He's a little light-skinned, but you know what I'm saying? We don't have that full Black supporting cast in the movie, which also turns me off as to how it's going to play out, because she doesn't even have another Black person to really confide in the movie. I believe her father is going to be white too. Poseidon's probably going to look. I'm looking real quick. Oh, King Triton. Yeah, like this nigga's white too. But y'all going to make Ariel Black though. You know what I'm saying? Y'all could have at least given her a mama in the movie and made the mama Black so it could make sense. But you don't want to make the dad Black. You just want to make Ariel Black. You don't want to give her that full support. You see what I'm saying? It's little things like that in a bigger Hollywood production you would think they would take into account, but they don't. Okay? They don't care. The director wanted her, so she got the position, but no other alterations were even made to really welcome her into that role. That's just how I feel. So I really do hope that it's a great movie. I'm still going to see it just for support of her. But I do feel as though stopping our support of bigger corporations like Disney and Warner and things of that nature really can create power and influence. I've tried to limit some of the things that I digest from corporations that I know don't really care about people that look like me. And unfortunately, Disney is one of them. So keep that in mind when you are patronizing Disney and you're buying their stuff and you're streaming their shit, that, well, yeah, we love you, Holly. Do your thing. We got your support. But next time you might want to go to Tyler Perry Studios. Just saying. Now, another interesting topic I definitely want to dive in on that really took me by surprise is this whole issue going on with The Woman King, okay? So, you know, The Woman King just came out. It's featuring Viola Davis, hold on, and a few other amazing Black women. Lupita was supposed to be in the movie, and she actually ended up dropping out of the movie. So The Woman King has Viola Davis in it, Lashana Lynch, John Boyega, Dasu Mendubi, Sheila Atman, James Lawson. So it has a nice Black cast, I will say that. But basically, it's detailing the story of the Dahomey tribe, which is a historically known Black African slave trade tribe, OK? Okay, so they sold black slaves to Europeans for weapons and supplies, etc., during the 17th century and a little bit before that. So the movie is produced and directed by, you know, white women. And the story is supposed to tell about how the tribe actually got free from some other type of, hold they were under, or some other type of rule that they were under. And it doesn't really dive into the history of the Dahomey tribe. And it tries to glorify, you know, some of the women from the tribe versus really telling what they did. So, should we stop supporting white made black films? So Lupita dropped out of the film after she had learned the truth about the tribe and what they were about and the type of things that they did and how the movie is not really depicting everything about the tribe. Okay. Viola Davis has voiced her opinion, and she stated how there are pieces of that history mentioned in the movie, but this is also something that, you know, happened as well, and we want to highlight, you know, the power of the black women, excuse me, and this whole ideology of still glorifying our history. Should we support any black historical movie, no matter the premise? So my thing about this is that I'm tired of white people making movies about black people, okay? Specifically historical ones. I think that if we took more time to learn about our history, then we could create the type of depictions of our history that we want to see. So let's just start there with that. I never knew anything about the Dahomey tribe. This is the first time that I'm ever learning about it. This is the first time I'm ever researching about it, hearing it being mentioned. And it's powerful, so much so that Lupita dropped out of the film. You understand what I'm saying? She decided that the check wasn't enough, the cast wasn't enough. She decided to remove herself due to knowing that history. And I wonder how many other black stars or black people that are unaware of things that happened in their history would have dropped out or chosen not to be a part of X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? If they had known. I think that Viola Davis, you know, is on a very Hollywood high. She's a prominent black face. She's, you know, used for a lot of different things throughout Hollywood. She's, you know, recognizable as Oscar worthy, you know, great performance. Okay. And she wants to show off her performance right now. She's not really too concerned with the historic aspect. And I'm not saying that she should be fully invested, so much so, but this is such a big problem that people are debating. They're boycotting the movie. People are asking for it to not air and be filmed in towns in certain places. People are asking for the production to be taken down. You understand what I'm saying? That's how big, you know, the impact it's making on everybody right now. And to me, that goes to show the importance of us having these types of conversations. Black media, black representation, black culture as a whole, we already know is so diverse, right? And there's so many things we still don't know about our history. So many things we still need to learn and still need to know about our history. And I think that in this situation here, we learned something new, and now we feel a way about our fellow black people in the way that Hollywood decides to tell pieces of our history. Now, am I going to see the movie? I don't know. Right now, I'm in a very uneasy state. I'm going to continue doing a little bit more research on the Dahomey tribe just to kind of get that the ins and outs, because I don't really know everything that, you know, went down with that. But I definitely feel like it's a conversation that a lot of us need to have. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us need to realize the type of historical culture we may or may not be aware of and why it's important and relevant to us to know it. So, seep on that. Seep on that. Sip on that for a little bit. Digest that. And let me know what you guys think. Definitely thinking about doing a little live about it after I do a little bit more research. And again, to me, this goes back to us really supporting our black media and our black productions and our black culture. Had this been a Tyler Perry production, I think that there would have been a different way that things would have went. Maybe that's just me. But I truly think that, you know, more research obviously would have been done, and there would have been more of a responsibility to display the story in a certain aspect. But when you only want to tell pieces of it, or you only want to shed light on the end and not the whole journey, well, it does make it seem like you're rewriting history. You know what I'm saying? So sip on that, sip on that. Now, I know you guys have been hearing about the Tiffany Haddish situation, okay? And to me, that whole scenario right there is really, really fucked up. So I didn't watch the whole clip. I watched a little bit, you know, of it to just kind of see why everybody was freaking out. And I can definitely see why there's discomfort. But I also saw the notion of trying to spread awareness. That was really the notion of the video. The thing about the come up is that you do a lot of shit for the possibility of what could happen. Okay. And you agree to be a part of certain things because you feel as though it's beneficial to your career. You feel as though, oh, nobody's doing this. It's going to work out for me. That's kind of the feeling that I get with her. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, I think that Tiffany did that with the notion that this was going to help her career. This was going to boost her up. This was going to, you know, get people to pay attention to her in another dynamic way with her, you know, acting. And it backfired. It completely backfired. Aries Spears, first off, his crusty, dusty, musty ass, he ain't been about shit for a minute, okay? He just had a video go out with him kissing some other niggas, some other little gay shit that went on too. Like, he's not about shit. You know what I'm saying? He's not about shit. And the fact that it seemed as though Tiffany ended up, you know, kind of covering both of their asses. You know, they were sued. They were taken to court, but obviously a settlement was made. So all charges and things like that were dropped. But Tiffany was on video saying how she lost all of her gigs. You know what I'm saying? And Lil Boosie, you know, made a video basically saying like, baby girl, I got you. You know what I'm saying? I could pay you a little something. And I actually feel bad. I really do. I feel bad for Tiffany because I don't think she thought it was going to blow like that in that sense. And then the fact that she had to kind of cover somebody else's ass because he ain't got no money to fucking help, you know, the situation. It just sucks. We got white pedos doing all types of fucked up shit in Hollywood, and they checking a bag consistently with all the fucked up shit known. You know what I'm saying? Which is not excusing, you know, pedo shit. That's not what I'm saying. It's just, it always hits a little bit different for black folks when they're put in those type of situations. I don't feel like Tiffany, you know, really even had a horrible job in the production. You know, her biggest part is the fact that she was even a part of it. But he, if anything, Aries is the one that needs to, would have really been charged or, you know, took into trial, being the one engaging with the child, not really taking those child laws into effect, because there are child laws you have to abide by when you do productions and stuff like that. So the fact that Tiffany really had to take the blow, to me, is just fucked up. It really, really is. And it just goes to show people were out for money and that nobody got your bag. So when you want to come up, you got to think twice about a lot of the things that you do. She made a really, really bad decision that ended up biting her in the ass to the fullest. So I really do hope she works that out as far as securing some type of bag. I'm not a super big fan of Tiffany Haddish, but I love her come up. I love anybody that got it out the mud and got to a point of self-made shit. You know what I'm saying? So I hope it. Now, I got to chop it up with y'all. Pillow Talk tweets. I'm always on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, E93Robin, if you have not already. I'm always on there talking shit, sharing shit, all of that great stuff, okay? And, you know, there's always some type of conversation that doesn't necessarily go viral, but you see it often. Somebody kicked something off, and now you're seeing the conversation everywhere. So there was a topic that was going on Twitter the other day about women wearing thongs to the water park. Yes, you heard that correctly. We're not talking about the beach. We're not talking about a resort, okay? We're not talking about a little personal jacuzzi for you and bae. We're talking about the fucking water park where there's slides and there's fucking kiddie pools and all of those things, right? So a woman basically made the tweet saying that if you're a grown-ass woman wearing thongs to the water park, you're a weirdo. So, of course, everybody got on the bandwagon. And there were a lot of different comments that were made. One of the biggest things that stuck out to me was how many women were upset that this was even a discussion. I can wear a thong wherever I want. It's my body. If I want to wear a thong to the water park, I can wear a thong to the water park. Oh, excuse me. This is literally what women are saying on Twitter, which is just like astounding as fuck to me. Okay. Then you see a whole nother notion of people claiming that kids are not paying attention. Claiming that kids don't look at bodies when they're at the water park. They're just doing whatever. Now, that's a lie. And we also know that there ain't just kids there. You got teenagers there. You got college people there. You got old people there. You got pedophiles there. You got rapists there. Okay? The water park is not a place for you to wear your best thong. Period. Like, seriously, there's no fucking question about it. That's just not the place to wear it. I remember working at a summer camp where I was a camp counselor for a little bit. And I was wearing a one piece with the t-shirt over my one piece just for the sake, you know, of covering myself up. And I had some little shorts that I put over my one piece, okay? And when I tell you that the little boys were still trying to pull my shorts down. So I'm already knowing for a fact that when you're wearing that thong, you're getting booty slapped by little boys at some point of the day while you're there. And then you're going to get upset when a man do it. Now, in those types of situations, you have to make a conscious decision. It's about being appropriate. Because if a man walked around in a Speedo at the water park, motherfuckers be calling the authorities. Okay? Call the damn police. It's a nigga up in here with a Speedo on. His nuts is hanging out. He's swimming with the kids. Call the police. But the fact that you would let a woman wear it and think that it's nothing wrong, or women feel as though they can wear it and think that nothing wrong, it's a problem, yo. Like, it's a real ass problem. Okay? It's a real problem. So that was a major conversation. A lot of men were very disappointed, you know what I'm saying, in some of the things that the women were saying. And it was just the fact that a lot of women felt it was acceptable. I would never do that shit. That's just me. I would never wear a fucking thong to a water park. I wouldn't even wear a thong to a public pool. That's something that's for the beach or for my man. Somewhere where it can be truly appreciated in the manner it deserves. Why would you even want to wear your best thong to the fucking water park? Now, when your shit slip off on a ride or something like that, you're going to be upset. You're going to be the fuck upset. Digging that shit out your ass every 2 minutes. It's a no for me. Well, that is all. That is all I'm going to rant with y'all today on. Okay? I didn't say too much. I didn't say a lot. I could have said more, but I'm going to just leave it at that, okay? Make sure that y'all play this episode back and refer a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to Pillow Talk Podcast. Make sure y'all tune back in with me later this week. Got some amazing dope episodes dropping, okay? I'll be out in Chicago, actually, this weekend for a little private event. Shout out to Rich Mind Promotions. So that's going to be super dope. Make sure you guys tune in for that as well. Follow me on YouTube, Robin Yvette. Go ahead and make that move so you can see me in all my glory. I would highly, highly appreciate it. Also, your girl is throwing a Halloween party October 29th. We out in Antioch with it. Make sure you tap in with me on Instagram at RobinE93 or search Pillow Talk Podcast to see all the information. Got a super dope lineup of guests. Imposter syndrome is the theme of the party. You want to know what that is? Baby, you're just going to have to come and find out. Appreciate y'all. Sending love and light. Peace out.